We're in the series called The Kingdom of God. And we have gone through many part in Matthew. Mostly, the sermon will be coming from the Gospel of Matthew on the kingdom. And this week, we began to see the kingdom seekers. The kingdom seekers. This is from Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 23. We'll read that in just a moment. I wonder if you ever has a seeking heart, desperately seeking something, something important to you. I remember when we were in Budapest, I think we were there for about 2 weeks, and my children were going to school. You know, they take public transportation to school, and then they got lost. Good thing they have cell phone. They call me, "Dad, we're lost. We don't know where we're at." Well, you know, I didn't say to him, "Could you just stay there for a couple of hours? Let me finish what I do now, and then I go look for you." No, we were in a frantic search for him because Budapest is a pretty big city. And so we actually took the path of the bus that took them. We were on that bus all the way to the school and look for them, you know, on the road to see if there's some Chinese kids wandering around on the street. And we asked him, what are some of the signs that you see around you? He says, "Dad, I can't read any of the signs." How about the building? You know, "Oh yeah, there was a big clock over there." "Oh, I know that, because when we walk around the neighborhood, we saw that clock." So finally, we were able to locate where they were. And needless to say, you know, we found him because they were with us. But just thinking about our desperation of looking for them, thinking that they may get lost, thinking about all the bad scenario that could happen and make us, you know, frantic, especially my wife. I feel that, you know, when you are a kingdom seeker, when you're seeking God, that is almost what you have to seek. Seeking is not just looking around. Seeking is to go after with determination, with a purpose. Our purpose is to find our kids. Desperation is that we are, you know, we're so anxious. And that is seeking of the kingdom seekers, seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness. And last week, we see in chapter 6, verse 33, that was the summary of what we say is when Jesus talked about the, you know, all the worries, "Don't worry, God will provide." But then His summary is that seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. So all the things that you worry about, God will add it to you if you seek him first. You know, that's a great promise. And so from that verse to today's verse in chapter 7, Matthew, verse 7, "Ask and it will be given to you, and seek and you will find." So there is a connection between 6:33 and 7:7, and that connection is seeking. And Jesus assures us, if you see God desperately, if you see God with determination and purpose, that you will find him. You will find him. And you will find his kingdom. But as a kingdom seeker, Jesus also wants us to know there are certain characteristics about the seekers. Like I said, it's not just looking around, not just lookers. You're seeking. And so there's certain characteristic about this person, this kingdom seeker. What is he like? So let's pray and then we get into the scriptures. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, at one point, Lord, that we were non-believers. But we thank you that your grace and your spirit actually seek us first. It's not so much we desperately seeking you, but you have been seeking us and come to us as we see that Jesus, the Word became flesh, and we see your glory. So we pray, Lord Jesus, as we go through your teaching, your words, we pray, Lord Jesus, your Holy Spirit give to us and show us how we can seek you and find you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this is, I'm going to read from Matthew 7, verse 7 to verse 23. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them to do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophet. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit, good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I would tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Okay, so first portions. There's three characteristics of kingdom seekers, or three must-have that shows that you are kingdom seekers. In verse 7 to verse 12, and then verse 13 and 14, and then the last one is 15 to 23. The first, from 7 to 12, is a kingdom seeker must believe God is good. He give good gifts. You said, I mean, that's a no-brainer, right? God is good, and he give good gifts. And then Jesus made a specific comparison between our Father on earth and our Father in heaven. And then he's saying that the Father on earth knows how to give good gifts to his children. Will your Father in heaven, will he not give you good gifts? And then he used bread and the stone and fish and the snake as an example. But you say that's a no-brainer, that God is good. God gave good gifts. But you know, you look at from Adam and Eve, where Eve was tempted by Satan. And Satan basically tempting Eve to say, is God good? You know, God tell you not to eat this fruit because your eyes will be open and you will be just like him. He doesn't want people to compete with him. In a sense, God is not that good. God is kind of selfish. God doesn't have you in mind. So Eve fell into that temptations. God is questionable. At least Eve did not say that God is evil or bad. It's questionable. I think for a lot of us, you know, especially at the time when you desperately pray for something and you didn't get it. And he says, it's questionable. Does God really have my best interests in mind? Does God really give good gifts to me? I know what I need. And my need is not unreasonable. And yet he doesn't answer. He's silent. And then that brings into questions. You know, does God really care? Does God really care and mindful of me? You know, the problem is, I mean, I sympathize with you about questioning the goodness of God. But, you know, on the other hand, you think about it. Do you always ask for good gifts? I mean, if you ask for good gifts and God wants to give it to you, God will give it to you, right? But most of the time, I'm not so sure that we always ask for good gifts. Well, I mean, you think about it. Of all the things that God maybe did not answer you, then you look back and says, what happened if God gave me that? Oh, I don't know. It'd be a miserable life. It'd be a miserable life. You know, I had a girlfriend before I met my wife. We broke up. I pray, oh Lord, why do you do this? Why do you do this? Question about God's, you know, intentions and goodwill. And then after I married my wife and I got a chance to meet her. Again, you know, I said, thank God I wasn't married to her. You know, the reason is that she treated her husband like her child. You know, I would never, you know, be like that. You know, if my wife treat me as her child. But thank God he knows. And I mean, her husband, we see that. Her husband likes to have a mother wife, you know? So it's perfect for them, but not for me. So this is what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm asking, or what I'm asking is not always good. So the question is, that if you ask for a snake, I mean, if you ask for a snake because you don't know what you're asking, will God give you a fish? The reverse. If you ask for a stone, I don't know why you ask for a stone, for food or something, will God give you bread? Will God give? See, that's the reverse questions. Or God just kind of leave you alone and don't answer you, don't give you anything. Don't give you the snake and don't give you the stone. But if we have this, the kingdom seeker has this mindset that God is always good, then I think that you will begin to realize who God is, what God is doing. You know, Paul asked for something, and God did not give it to him. And it's personal to him. If you read it in 2 Corinthians, Paul had an illness, and he described it as a thorn in the flesh. The illness that, it must be really, really bad, because he has been flogged before, and he didn't complain about that. You know, he has suffered for God, and he didn't complain about that. But for this illness, he asked God to remove this thorn from his flesh, so I don't have to suffer anymore. He asked God three times. God did not do that. You know, I'm sure Paul had asked on behalf of other people for God's healing, and God had answered that. But for Apostle Paul, the dear servant of the Lord, God says no. And God gave him an answer. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. Stop asking. My grace is enough. This is the person who asked God, I don't know. I mean, it seems to me it's reasonable to ask God to relieve him of the pain. Maybe he can serve the Lord better that way. Maybe he's asking for a snake. I don't know. But it seems reasonable to ask God to remove this from his apostles. But he says his grace is sufficient. And then Paul realized is that when he is weak, God is strong in him. When he is weak, God is strong. So he says, I rather now boast about my weaknesses so God can be strong in me. That is a lesson. That's a spiritual lesson, not just for him. It's for millions of people who came after him, because that was recorded in the scriptures. So many people were encouraged because God did not remove that thorn from his flesh. You have to believe God is good. Even sometimes you suffer and you ask God to relieve that suffering. But you have to insist, I know this is good. This is a good gift. The thorn in the flesh is a good gift for me. That's a kingdom seekers. That's what kingdom seeker believe. Second part, the kingdom seeker, verse 13 to verse 14. Narrow gates and wide gate. Well, the kingdom seeker in this portion has a characteristic, is that the kingdom seeker also always go on the road less traveled. Always go on the road less traveled. What does that mean? If you know the history of interstate system, it was built up in the Eisenhower era when Eisenhower was the president. He made that his signature legislations, is that they built interstate. They built interstate. So it used to be highway, you go through little town with traffic lights, speed limits, that connects. It takes you forever to go from east to west. And but once the interstate system comes in, people just go on the highway, and it cuts the travel time by half, at least. So everybody goes on the interstate. All these little towns dies out. And all the big towns built around the interstate system. So interstate system, the highway is just easier travel for those of us who drives a lot. Easier travel. And Jesus said, if you are going to be the kingdom seeker, you want to avoid the interstate highway. And Jesus says, those big and broad roads lead you to destructions. And Jesus paints a picture of kingdom seeker who enter the kingdom travel on narrow road, small gates, because that leads to life. Kingdom seekers are always minority. You know, I mean, a lot of people travel on interstate. Nobody travel on these small roads that takes you to every little small town. Nobody travels there. So there's always fewer people in the narrow road, and always fewer people get through small gates. But you as a kingdom seeker, you don't want to choose what everybody else is doing. What everybody else is doing. I have a youth in the youth group. He's now married, but when he was a high school kid, we said, what do you want to do when you grow up? And this guy, his name is Theo. Theo, he says, when I grow up, and this is what he says, I want to have a, I want to have a good job that pays well. Okay, get married, have 2.5 kids. Why 2.5? Because that's a national average, you know, national average. I want to have 2.5 kids, have a 4-bedroom house, and grow old in comfort. I commanded him. I said, good, you have a plan. You're only 15 years old. This is what you want to do. You have a plan. Most of 15-year-olds have no clue what they want to do in life. At least he does. And last time I heard, because I'm still in contact with his parents, that he met all his goals, except that he only had 2 kids. He only had 2 kids. But that is an easy road in life for him, right? It's easy, easy goal to get a good job, you know, get married, have kids, and then have a house. Even my children are on that road to prosperities. My children are on that road to prosperities. That's what everybody does. That's what everybody does. But kingdom seeker would do things the hard way. Rather seeking a job that pays well. I think a kingdom seeker seeks a job that brings meaning and purpose to his life. May not pay well, but he seeks meaning and purpose. Rather than seeking a perfect wife, you know, check. That a kingdom seeker seek to be a perfect husband. Rather than seeking children of his or her own, the kingdom seeker seeks to be a dad and mom to many kids. I know there are people like that. teachers, kindergartens, caretakers. They treat these people as her own. Rather seeking a big house, you know, you have a starter house, then you kind of move up from a 3 bedrooms to a 4 bedrooms, then to a mansion, you know. That was my path before I became a Christian, became a pastor. So I know there's steps. Rather than doing that as everybody else does, a kingdom seeker seeks a shelter. As long as it covers me when the storm comes, as long as that I have a roof over my head, I am happy. I'm satisfied. That's what kingdom seeker is. Rather than seeking growing old, receiving comfortable care, a kingdom seeker seeks the ability to give while growing old. You can still be a kingdom seeker when you are retired. It's not just for young people. Kingdom seeker is continue. It is not something that they said, okay, I got it. I found it. Okay, that's it. I can rest. The kingdom seeker is continually seeking the kingdom of God until the time when you arrive at the kingdom. So that's the kingdom seekers. Doing things the hard way. Doing things the hard way. Not easy. There's no easy way for the kingdom seeker. And then lastly, verse 15 to verse 23. This one is a little bit harder to see for the kingdom seekers. Because you talk about, you know, false prophets, you talk about, you know, you had to identify the false prophet by their fruit they bear. But verse 21 to 23, I feel is the crux of Jesus' teaching. He says, many people on that day at the gate of the kingdom said to Jesus, Lord, Lord, I have done this, I've done that, I prophesied, I've done healings, I've done miracles in your name. Let me in. Let me in. And Jesus answers, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. These people have done a lot of stuff in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I mean, yet Jesus says, I don't know you. I don't know you. So I think for the kingdom seeker here is that you need to have an intimate personal relationship with God that leads to trust and obedience. That's a mark of a kingdom seeker. Is that he has an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And that leads him into trusting him and leads him to pray, thy will be done in my life at his in heaven. So that is the characteristic of a kingdom seeker. Now, prior to that conclusions, and in verse 21 to 23, kingdom seeker has to be wise. There are a lot of wolves in sheep clothing in this world. They may look and sound like Jesus' disciple, but they are fake, dangerous, and scheming. And their whole agenda is to capture and devour the kingdom seekers. They will make these seekers stumble, discouraged, confused, They distort the truth in such a way the kingdom seeker cannot distinguish the truth from the falsehood. There are many false prophets during apostles' time. And they have appeared throughout church history, even today, in this world of religious world, you see a lot of false teachers pretend to be Christian, sound like Christians, but in reality, it's not. And Jesus says, okay, you kingdom seeker, be aware of that. And I tell you what, look at their fruit. What kind of fruit do they bear? Do they bear the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23. Do they bear those kinds of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Are these teachers bear this kind of fruit in their life? Can you tell? Can you tell they have these kind of fruit? Or they're the one bears bad fruit. And Galatians, Paul also lists the bad fruit that you can tell too. And here's the bad fruit. Verse 19, chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 19. The acts of sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. These are the fruit of these wolf in sheepskin. You, as a kingdom seeker, you need to be able to distinguish that. It's not just what they say. You know, a lot of people, they just, I don't know, I'm not disparaging YouTube preachers, but I have heard so many Christians that instead of going to church, I just turn on the YouTube. I go to the archives and listening to all these preachers preach. It's not about the content, because everybody can preach a good sermon. But it is their character, how they conduct themselves, what is in them, inside, rather than outside speaking. You know, Pharisee looks very good, very devoted. And God, Jesus says, they are like what? Their cup that looks outside is very clean, but inside is full of dirt. It's unclean. So for the kingdom seeker, you need to be aware of that. You need to step back and says, let me think about it. Let me look at it. Let me distinguish. If you can't distinguish, ask the Holy Spirit to help you to distinguish that. But most importantly, these fake and false prophets, Jesus says, I don't know you. Because they don't know Jesus. It goes both ways. It's not just Jesus says, I don't know you. Because they never know Jesus Christ. They never took time to know him. And so for you as a kingdom seekers, develop asking God to have the personal relationship with him. To have that personal relationship. You don't want to come to the point you go to heaven and then Jesus, who are you? Who are you? So it is important to know who you believe. It is important to know who you believe, who you obey, who you trust. So there are three things, right? Three characteristics of the kingdom seeker. And the first one that you trust and believe God is good. He gives good gifts, even when you don't seem to receive what you ask God for. And the second is a kingdom seeker always takes the hard road. Never easy road. And then the kingdom seeker in the last one is to have that personal intimate relationships that will lead to good fruit, lead to the fruit of the Spirit. So what is a modern day kingdom seekers like? I'll tell you a story. When I was pastoring in Richmond, and we have a ministry in the summer to the King's Dominion workers. I don't know if you guys know King's Dominion. King's Dominion is an amusement park in Doswell. It's not very far from Richmond. And every year they go to China and hire a bunch of college students. They give them like a 90-day work permit for them to come to America to work. And so they hire these Chinese students from China to come to King's Dominion. And our church noticed about that. And then we had a ministry to reach out to these international students. They were only here for 90 days. So, but they had day off. So we gather them in the church and then we feed them. Afterwards, we preach to them. You know, we stuff all this spiritual truth in them. They're like stuffed turkey. They have no choice, you know. And then they go back, and then they work. And then next week, because they had different day off, so not always the same people who shows up. But, you know, they hire about 50 to 60 kids from China. These are not actually not kids, but they are college students. And I remember there's one young lady. Her name is Lucy. She came to us. Not, you know, we did not see anything special. She's from one of the coastal province. I think it's Fujian. She came. And then she received Jesus. You know, everybody was very surprised, you know. And she was baptized. Every year we have a few baptism. These kids receive Jesus, so we want to make sure, you know, they know who they believe, and then we don't want to sort of kind of just leave them, you know. There's no closure to that. So the closure is baptism. We ask them, you want to be baptized? And some people said yes. So this Lucy decided to get baptized. And then the summer is over. And she did not come from a Christian home. She has no background about Christianity. She just sort of kind of walk in to our Bible study and the Spirit touched her and she became a Christian. She came to understand the truth. So after the summer is over, a lot of these kids, they make money, you know, but most of the time their money just covered their agent's fee and their travel expenses. So, but some had left over, so they just go out to travel America, to see America, you know, to take the tour here and there. And she decided that she had a week before, from the time when she's ended her employment to the time her flight was scheduled. So she has a week. She did not go out with these people, and instead she stayed with us. And you know, son, when you stay with us, we're going to stuff you more. So Simu talked to her, you know, like every day she will stay with us for a whole week. So there's a lot of stuff you can stuff in there. And she took it in. Then she's gone. We'll keep in touch. When she went back home, I don't know, there's something about Chinese when you're at a certain age. They all want you to get married. When she goes home, and she's only in her early 20s, her parents, you know, give her a lot of pressure to get married and doing all kind of matchmaking for her, you know? What about this friend of ours? Yeah, he has a nice son and all these. But she insists she's going to marry a Christian. I mean, this is a girl who just received Jesus Christ, you know, and probably with a spiritual knowledge about maybe 1 or 2 weeks. She's a newborn baby. But when she went home, her parents says, all our friends, their daughter are getting married, and here is an eligible bachelor. Take your pick. She says, no. She says, no. So she did not marry for a while. This is, I mean, when she came to us, it's probably about 8 years ago. 8 years ago. She did not get married. She insists she's going to marry a Christian. So she, where are you going to find Christians? You're going to go to church. So she went to church faithfully. And eventually, a brother in the church, God brought them together. Brought them together. Over a lot of anger from her family, because her family are not Christians. You know, their traditional religion in China, you know, when you bye-bye, whatever. She eventually married this brother. They both serve in the church. I mean, just a lay person serving. And then they have two kids, not two and a half, two kids. They had two kids and live in the protections and the embrace of God's love. That is the kingdom seekers. That's a kingdom seeker resisting pressure. Travel on the road, less travel. And know what she believed and develop that intimate relationship, knowing that God wants to give her a spouse that she can travel together towards the kingdom. So we're still keep in touch with her, but not very frequently anymore. But we are just so impressed with just 2 or 3 weeks of, you know, Christianity, the truth. And she continued to seek God. And, you know, it's not always going to turn out this way, okay? And let me tell you, don't take that, okay, if you seek and then you get all these things added to you. What do you seek? She's seeking God. She wants to do God's will. She's not seeking a husband and says, God, you help me as I seek this husband. No, she seeks God. And then God added this to her. Add this to her. God is still the most important. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus.